Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Well, not quite. Logan Weber in here today on The Drive, filling in for Carrington Harrison, who is out enjoying himself a Kendrick Lamar concert. He's in St. Louis, not to watch Cags, but to watch Kendrick. So jokes have been made around the office all day today, but I'm sure he's going to go out and enjoy himself. He'll be back tomorrow, but I'm with you here for the next 4 hours. Not the first time I've hosted this show, but a joy as always, and a lot to talk about, especially with what we saw occur yesterday in St. Louis, a wild night for the Kansas City Royals and rookie sensation Jack Caglione. We're going to have Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star on with us a little bit later on here in the 2 o'clock hour. He'll come on about 2:28, 2:30. But we are going to begin with what we saw last night at Busch Stadium. It got off to an incredibly rocky start for both the Royals and Jack Caglione. They score 2 runs in the first inning. Bam, right off the bat, right? Bobby goes yard, a 2-run shot. And then from there, things took a massive dive. Michael Lorenzen, another really troublesome start from him. His ERA has now ballooned to a 5.12 now this season. Don't worry, we'll be talking about Michael Lorenzen a little bit later on in the program this afternoon as well. But then from there, things flipped on a dime again for the Kansas City Royals, this time in a good way. The relief pitching nails last night. 6 1/3 scoreless innings of baseball from a handful of guys, including Taylor Clark and Schreiber. Angel Serpa had one of his better performances of the year. Steven Cruz continues to wow this season after getting the call up from AAA. Going 1 2/3 of an inning, Daniel Lynch pitched another great frame. And Carlos Estevez picked up save number 17. But really, it was the batting lineup for this Royals team that put up a performance we haven't seen in quite a while. Scoring 10 runs, you had 8 of the 9 starters in this lineup put together at least one hit in this game. The only one who didn't, Jack Caglione. And I know that was the excitement that everybody was feeling yesterday going into the game, was Cags' debut in a major league uniform. It didn't go according to plan for him, but I will say there were some intriguing signs with Jack Caglione. Did he register a hit? No. But he had two hits that registered with exit velocities up over 105 miles per hour. In fact, Rob, I was looking at it this morning. Jack Caglione, after one game, One game, mind you, it will change, possibly. He already leads the Kansas City Royals in average exit velocity. That's the amount of pop that we have come to expect from him during his time in minor league baseball, and we hope to see from him in a Royals uniform for years to come. I mean, the first hit he had, 113 off the bat, it was just an outstanding play in center field by Victor Scott. And then he had that ground out to Nolan Arenado at third base. If it was anybody really in baseball besides Nolan Arenado and maybe Matt Chapman at third base, that's a single. Might even be a double down the line. But you hit a ball like that at a guy like Nolan Arenado, who's maybe the best fielding third baseman, at least in the past 20 years of Major League Baseball, if not longer than that. Just unlucky for Jack Caglione. I was very, very intrigued by how hard he was hitting the baseball and the fact that he didn't strike out. I mean, going to the plate five times and not striking out a single time in your first major league appearance, that's a pretty welcome sight, especially when he saw five different pitchers in this game. You know, Steven Matz and Andre Pallante, they threw a lot of arms, St. Louis did yesterday, and he was able to kind of weather the storm, didn't register a hit, but again, the guy didn't strike out. And, you know, we had an opportunity to hear from a few different people after the game talking about Jack Caglione and what he was able to do. Cags himself talked a little bit about what he thought about his first game in Major League Baseball.
Relieved, but, you know, I was super excited to share the field with all these guys. You know, for the bats to come out the way that they did was really cool to watch. It's kind of stepping the batter's box behind Salvador Perez was really cool growing up watching him. So that was a cool first full circle moment.
One of the more intriguing things about last night's game, or I should say more so even after the game, was we all know as Royals fans and people who follow the Kansas City Royals, we were all obviously excited to watch Jack Caglione get his first run in Major League Baseball. Obviously, Matt Quatrero, the Royals manager, certainly very excited about the possibilities that Jack Caglione has. Here's him kind of talking about his debut as a Kansas City Royal and specifically that hard line out to Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. I mean, he went up there, attacked. I think it was a bad idea to hit it to those two guys, his first two at-bats. I mean, there's a really, really good catch in the first at-bat, and then anything you hit to Arenado is not really a great idea. But he squared it up, you know, and he was ready to go. He looked poised, you know, there'll be plenty of hits for him.
But for me, the thing that I was most excited to hear about last night was the excitement level of the other guys on the team, right? You heard Vinny Pasquantino talking before the game about his thoughts on Jack Caglione. That goes all the way back to spring training. He did that MLB Network segment where he talked about just how impressive of a person and an athlete that Jack Caglione is. But after the game, Bobby Witt Jr. was asked about Jack Caglione's debut, and, you know, he had nothing but uplifting and positive things to say about Jack Caglione. He said he obviously looks like a big leader already in the box.
Yeah, it was, I guess for him, you want to get your first hit in the debut, but just his presence in the box, he's a big leaguer. You see it, you see the swings he's taken, it's a big leaguer. And so it's just one of those things, and now you just know that you got your debut, now you're looking for your first hit, and after that you settle in, you know, you're part of us. Just the day he showed up in the clubhouse today, showed up on the plane yesterday, he's part of our family, and he's just going to help us win a lot of games this year.
Certainly think he will. I mean, did he register a hit yesterday? No. He'll have his first hit by the time the weekend's over. I'm very, very confident in that based off of what I saw yesterday. I mean, putting bat on the baseball in five separate at-bats, he put the ball in play, just a couple of unlucky outs along the way. Victor Scott made an incredible play there in center field for what looked like it could have been a home. I mean, that would have been a home run if it's hit anywhere besides dead center field in pretty much any ballpark in America. And then the play to Arenado, that guy's just one of the best fielders we've ever seen in Major League Baseball. It's just kind of an unlucky turn of events for Jack Caglione. This is going to be good, man. I think that he is going to be a stalwart in this lineup for a very, very long time. I was a little bit surprised to see him hit sixth in the order. I had said earlier this week that I thought seventh made some sense, but I never expected them to shuffle Salvador Perez in the way that they did, moving Mikel up from fifth to third in the order, which honestly, I kind of love this move in hindsight. And then you've got Vinny hitting cleanup, Salvi hitting fifth, Caglione hitting sixth. So you're able to avoid hitting two left-handers back-to-back. That was the concern I had, right? When they were talking about with Vinny hitting third, could you hit Jack fourth or hit Jack? It was, how do you hit those guys back to back in the lineup with them both being left-handers? They were able to solve a lot of those problems. Jonathan India, I don't feel like he's being talked about enough for what he's done in the past month. He hit the ball much better in the month of May than he did in April and had a three-hit day yesterday. Bobby really put something together after he struggled in May. Somebody said it wasn't dead center, it was right center. It was right center field, yes, but it was certainly much closer to center field than right field, I would say, just from what I watched in the game. But this was what the Royals needed, a 10-run game yesterday. That is as many runs as the Royals had scored in their past five games combined. They played almost two entire series and scored the same amount of runs last night as they had in their last five. 13 hits as a team, and now the conversation turns to, when is Jack going to get that first hit? I saw MLB Network today was having a conversation. They were asked, the guys on the panel were asked, how many home runs does Jack Caglione hit this year? And one of the guys said he thinks he'll hit over 20. He thinks he'll hit 4 to 5 home runs a month easy. That would be a welcome sight for the Kansas City. I mean, 20 home runs is probably 50 or 60 ribbies hitting sixth in this lineup right now with the five guys that are hitting ahead of him. I know Salvi struggled, but I have hope in my heart that Salvador Perez won't continue to struggle the way that he has. I don't know. Just one of those situations where I think this team's in a very, very good spot. I don't think that they're done making moves, whether that's within the organization itself or via the trade deadline. Our text line number is 913-586-7965. Somebody just said India's struggles at the plate earlier this year are understandable, with the Royals moving him all over the field and having to learn multiple new positions. There's also something to be said for the fact that he's with a new organization for the first time in his major league career. I mean, this is a guy who was drafted by the Reds. He was the top prospect in the Reds system. He makes his major league debut with the Reds, where he wins the National League Rookie of the Year and goes on to have three more seasons in Cincinnati. And now at 28 years old, he's making a move to a new place. You know, not Cincinnati, it's Kansas City. He's got all new teammates. He's having to kind of weather the storm a little bit. And now he's sitting at a spot pretty much right at or near his career averages. You know, he's a career 250 hitter. He's hitting 244 this year. He's got a career 350 on base percentage. His OBP right now is just a shade over 330. The only thing really that kind of gives me pause is his slugging numbers are down dramatically from a, you know, average of around 400 to down near 310 this year. We'll see if those continue to change, but Jonathan India is hitting the ball much better. In fact, in his last 15 games, is hitting well over 300 for the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive right here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you alongside Rob Britton. I'm filling in for CDOT today, who's out in St. Louis, enjoying a little Kendrick Lamar. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We're going to have Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star on to join us at 2:28. But when we come back, we've got stadium news. We had a committee vote last night. It's being debated today. What happens with this stadium vote, this stadium plan in regards to the special session from Governor Mike Kehoe in the state of Missouri? Could we get some news today, tonight? Could we get confirmation? We'll talk about all of that coming up next right here on The Drive on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, Rob, there's some people in the text line coming to your defense a little bit. You know, the other day, you took a day off, and apparently C-Dot was giving you quite a bit of grief, and now he's gone today. You know, what does that say about him?
That says par for the course around here. Me and him do the same thing. I get grief. Life just goes on when he does it. That's how it works on this show.
Yeah, he's just out here making fun of people while he's doing the same. I think there's like a pot calling the kettle black, stones at glass houses sort of a situation there. But regardless, Carrington's not here today. I'm Logan Weber. I'm filling in for him here this afternoon on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We were talking about the Royals and Jack Caglione's debut a little bit ago, but you know, that's not the only really important story surrounding Kansas City right now. I think maybe the most important thing surrounding the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs is a special session taking place in Jefferson City right now discussing the stadium plans. Governor of Missouri Mike Kehoe, former Lieutenant Governor of Missouri Mike Kehoe, has called this special session where they're discussing the possibility of a, you know, some sort of stadium something or other to try to keep these two teams on the Missouri side. Now, where it's gone so far is it passed committee. Sometime last night, a 6-3 vote pushed it out of committee, and it's now in the Missouri Senate itself, the larger party, where they are now discussing a variety of different topics and things with it. And, you know, Rob, we were talking before the show, there are really three very interesting subtopics within the larger overview of Arrowhead and Kauffman or a downtown stadium, which that seems to be what's on the minds of people in the state of Missouri. The first thing is the amount of money that it will take to renovate. Now, I mention that because there was a very, very interesting report. This came from Matt Evans from KNBC9. He came out with a story talking about the vote leaving committee, passing committee, and being moved to the Missouri Senate.
In a marathon Senate hearing, that bill ran into opposition from both sides of the aisle.
Republicans.
I don't really care about football, but I do care about economic impact to the state of Missouri a lot.
And Democrats alike.
From my perspective and my constituents' perspective, it's egregious that we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars for a stadium when you have people who've lost everything.
Took issue with the bill today, but it eventually cleared the committee by a vote of 6-3 after nearly 3 hours of testimony and debate.
How do you think that went today, Senator?
Long. Really, really long, but that's all right. As I've said many times before, it's a big issue. It's a big topic. It's worth discussion.
We also learned new information from a lobbyist for the Kansas City Chiefs.
If we are to stay with state and local participation, this is the type of plan that could work.
He testified that the team would plan to spend $1.15 billion to renovate Arrowhead if they do stay in Missouri. And while the Kansas Star Bonds plan does have better numbers, any new stadium would never have the allure of Arrowhead.
But it's new construction. It is also not going to be the loudest stadium in the world.
Even with that bipartisan opposition, the bill sponsor says he's confident the votes are there to pass this proposal.
I'm encouraged by today. There's always talks going about how we're going to get there, 18's the magic number.
While the Senate committee did advance it to the full Senate, another fight there is likely ahead.
So let's break it down. The three things that stood out to me from what I've read in this story from Matt Evans of KNBC, the first thing is the money side. The lobbyist for the Kansas City Chiefs said in the story that he had testified that the renovations would cost $1.15 billion. Now let's all go back a year, just over a year ago, right? In April of last year, when they were trying to pass the 3/8-cent sales tax, they had said, the Chiefs had said, that the renovations would cost $800 million. So what has changed in a year that the renovations are now some $300 million more than they were 14 months ago? I find that very, very interesting. I think that that could have a major level of discourse here as this thing is being debated in the Missouri Senate, because they're not just debating this stadium plan. They're also debating construction projects statewide and disaster relief statewide. So it's kind of hard for some folks in the state of Missouri that don't live in the Kansas City or greater Kansas City metro area on the Missouri side to justify spending over $1 billion to renovate Arrowhead and Lord knows what's going on with the Royals when they're throwing out, you know, tens of millions or just hundreds of millions of dollars for disaster relief or construction projects in the state. How does that sit with somebody in St. Louis or Cape Girardeau or Hannibal or Springfield? That, I think, is going to be a very, very difficult hurdle for them to overcome. The second one, and this is one that you brought up, Rob, is the fight that is looming or is already occurring in this situation, because this is not your stereotypical, and I don't want to get into the political weeds too much of this situation, but very, very often, if you follow politics, it's very bipartisan, very, you know, the left side of the aisle supports the policy, the right side of the aisle just vehemently opposes it. This situation does not seem to be strung along party lines. You are seeing people on the left, Democrats, moving over to the right and opposing this situation, or vice versa, right? This is not like a staunch everybody's voting one side or the other on this situation. It's very, very partisan in how this thing has played out so far and will continue to play out.
I mean, you mentioned it. He and so did Matt Evans in that clip. And I'm working on getting Matt Evans on the show in the next coming days as well, because he is in Jeff City right now, you know, embedded with all this. It feels like, and it's not a death sentence to Missouri, but it feels like every time we hear a story about Missouri, whether it be the county, the city, or the state, there is some sort of friction point, whether it be politics, whether it be, you know, the county can't figure out property taxes and that made friction with the voters, whether it be the city and them, you know, hinting at a plan for the Royals and Chiefs, but never proposing a plan for the Royals and Chiefs, and the Royals and Chiefs working with the city, but getting an official plan proposed late in the voting process. It seems like at every step along the way in Missouri, there is a friction point. Now, as Matt Evans said in the cut, you know, people are confident that Missouri can overcome this. They can get the 18 votes required to come across and make this a yes, and the money can flow. But it does feel like, yet again, we were having a conversation on this show about how in Missouri, it is a friction point to get the money to flow to the teams. Where in Kansas, across the state line, we've had, you know, Democrat, Republican, right, left, center, whoever in the aisle, they've all been in lockstep. We want the Chiefs. Here's the Star Bond proposal. We want the Royals. Here's the Star Bond proposal. Beyond the Star Bond proposal, we believe we can get this money mustered up. No problem. We have this location. This location gives you everything you want. We have this location. It gives you everything you want. It feels like every story you hear about the stadium is like Groundhog Day. Missouri has friction points. Can they overcome them? Kansas doesn't. And I don't know at what point those friction points do or don't cost Missouri, but it feels like we talk about them ad nauseum, at least on this show.
One word comes to mind here, right? Kansas has all their ducks in a row, seemingly. Missouri's trying to get it all figured out. What this all tells me is the Chiefs and the Royals have the one word that you may not want a professional organization to have in a situation like this: leverage. They have all the leverage in the world because we know how desperately Kansas wants them to move over, right? And we know how desperate Missouri is for them to stay here. And I know that there are probably some contributing factors, right? Things have gotten a little bit more expensive in the past year, so that probably harkens back to raising prices. But I also think it stems from the Chiefs know that Missouri is very desperate at this point. If they want to, you know, they want those who are in support of it want to keep them here. The third thing that kind of stood out to me, and we'll get to Jalen Thompson here in just a minute from the Kansas City Star talking a little Royals, there was a little bit of a quiet confidence, is how we've described it, within the story, where they think they have the votes. They like where those in support of the stadium are in a very, very excited or very upbeat, I guess I could say, about where they're at right now. They think they might have the votes to get this thing through the Missouri Senate. Where it goes from there is anybody's best guess. It's going to be fascinating to see. This thing is coming closer to an end, but I still don't think we're close to a final decision. It's going to happen shortly, but man, it just feels like we've got a lot to get. There's a lot of ducks to get in a row here before we know definitively what the Chiefs and or the Royals are going to be able to end up doing. It's been funny to me, you know, I haven't heard much mention about the Kansas City Royals in Missouri. You know, I know the downtown ballpark is still in the hopes and prayers of many. I've heard more about the Chiefs and the Arrowhead renovations with this special session than I have what's going on with the Royals, which I find slightly interesting. Speaking of the Kansas City Royals, on the line with us right now is Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. He is a regular contributor of mine when I host After Hours, which is our evening show. And he's on the line with us right now. He was live in St. Louis yesterday to watch that Wild game take place. Jalen, start us off with your reaction and the reaction of those you heard from about Jack Caglione. I know he was 0 for 5, but he had several very, very loud outs during the course of that game, and he didn't strike out.
Kansas City Royals fans, Logan, they came out in full force to see Jack Caglione. They lined up early. They were in the building at Busch Stadium, and they just wanted to get a glimpse of this future star, this fun phenom that has come to Kansas City, and it was a really unique and exciting time for any Royals fan that was there. Jack Caglione, you can't miss him. 6'5", 250 pounds. He stands out among the crowd. And to just see him interact with his teammates, you know, be on the field for batting practice, how he handled himself during the game, getting that nice ovation, from the crowd when he had his first at bat. He hit the ball really hard. He could have had two hits, but they were taken away. He was robbed by Victor Scott, the second in center field, and he was robbed by Nolan Arenado at third base. But Jack Caglione, he proved himself to be worth the price of admission, and I think for the Kansas City Royals, that's going to be exciting for not only the organization but their fans.
We heard about it from some throughout the game. You could tell that the excitement level was a little bit higher. You could hear it from Bobby after the game. You heard it from Vinny prior to the game and during the post game. Did you, while you're watching the game last night, could you sense an energy shift with this team, even just having Jack Caglione in the lineup, albeit the fact that he went hitless? It seemed like overall 1 through 9, these guys seem to be playing with a little bit more juice than we had seen from them in the last couple of weeks during those really, really difficult stretches at the plate.
I wrote about it in the Kansas City Star, and we also have a whole bunch of other great stories from Vahe Gregorian, Pete Gradoff, Blair Kirkhoff, Sam McDowell. We all wrote about Jack Caglione and the impact that he's going to have for the Royals and this organization. And yesterday, I think you kind of saw a little bit of that. The Royals changed their lineup. They had Michael Garcia batting third. They had Salvador Perez batting fifth. Vinny Pasquantino was in the fourth spot. So it was just a way to shift things around and allow Jack Caglione to feel comfortable when he was inserted into the lineup. And I think you saw a lot of the production that a lot of fans haven't seen this season. You know, Michael Garcia came through with a big 2 RBI knock. Vinny Pasquantino came through. Salvador Perez had a home run from Nick Lawson. Bobby Witt Jr. started off with a 2-run homer. Guys up and down the lineup were just able to hit the baseball. And I think that thinking of just being able to lengthen the lineup, because that's what happens when you have Jack Caglione in your lineup. You lengthen it out now. Now you have another power bat in there. I think that could be big for the Royals moving forward. We'll see how they play tonight against, I believe it's Miles Michaelis, but it's going to be a big game for the Royals to see how well they play today.
Just looking at the lineup, and we saw how they performed yesterday, but you saw it when the card came out last night. You know, India hitting leadoff still, Bobby in second, moving Michael up to third, Vinny hitting cleanup, and then you've got Salvi, Jack, Nick Lofton in left field, Drew Waters in right, and Kyle Isbell in center. This seems, to me, top to bottom, the most balanced lineup that this Kansas City Royals team has trotted out so far this season. Do you anticipate this continuing to be the lineup or some sort of combination of the lineup, depending on whether Jack is DHing or playing right field on a given day? Do you think these will be the 9 guys at the plate kind of regularly here in the near future?
I think that the Royals will continue to experiment with their lineup. And I think this might be one of the different types of experiments that they might can keep going back to. Max Pietrangelo, Royals manager, he talked about it. He said that he wanted to try to get certain groups of guys together and, you know, kind of fill this lineup out. To be able to get that with your power hitters and Vinny and Salvi and Jack Caglione really in the middle of the lineup, and you have speed guys at the top, guys that get on base, with India and Bobby and Michael Garcia, now you have a potential situation where you might get to 4 and you have 2 guys on, 3 guys on, or you might get to 5 or 6 and there's a runner on third base, a run's already in, and you have a chance to add more. So I think it's a good way to look at the lineup. And obviously, it's going to depend on who you're facing each and every night. So that's why things will be changed and be different. But to have that element of those on-base guys in front of the power hitters, and then behind the power hitters, you have guys that can get the ball, put the ball in play and move guys over. I think you have a functioning machine that the Royals can lean to in order to win some of these games, so that they're not going out there and scoring one run or getting shut out 1-0 again.
I want to go back to a conversation you and I actually had earlier this week, Jalen. I had asked you on Monday about Noah Cameron versus Michael Lorenzen, right? What could we see the Royals do here? Reagans is expected back as soon as tomorrow, quite possibly. Lorenzen, another difficult start for him yesterday, 2 2/3. He gave up 7 earned, 2 home runs included in that. His ERA is now ballooned up to a 5.12 this year. Has there been any more conversation, any hint as to what we might see with in regards to this Noah Cameron versus Michael Lorenzen debate as to who that number 5 starter for the Royals is going to be, and where does that leave the other guy in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, Logan, I think that the Royals have to make their decision pretty much soon, because if they're going to bring Cole Reagans back tomorrow to start, that means that they're going to have to make a decision on who is going to be able to shift it around or move it around to bring him off the injury list. So they're going to have to make a roster move. And right now, a 6-man rotation could be on the table, but they have off days every Monday this week, like we mentioned before, and I don't know if that might be where they want to go. They also could have the option to potentially move Michael Lorenzen to the bullpen. But when you look at the way the Royals have starters have been pitching, you really don't have a need for a long relief guy when you can have Daniel Lynch that can do the same thing. You have other guys that can do the same thing. So when you really look at it, they have to decide what is going to be their best option moving forward. And I think a lot of that's going to depend on what happens in today's game. You mentioned Noah Cameron starting today. So it's going to be what happens today, how they look, how they want to fit this thing together. But one thing we do know is Cole Reagans is going to start tomorrow, and they have to make a decision. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what that decision is going to be.
Any possibility in your mind that if Noah Cameron goes out and throws another quality start today, is there any thought to the possibility that the Royals could explore an avenue where they look for a trade partner or even DFA Michael Lorenzen? Or is it more likely, because of the injuries they've already dealt with this year, try to hold on to a guy like that as that quote-unquote sixth starter in the event that somebody goes down with an injury again, like we've already seen from Reagans and Lugo a couple of times?
Yeah, I think that for right now, the Royals would like to hold on to Michael Lorenzen, because Michael Lorenzen, he is very versatile. He can be a starter. He can be a reliever. He can be able to work in the bullpen. So it would be helpful and behoove the Royals, I believe, to have another guy that can start games for you, that has started games for you, to still be around the squad. Because as you've seen, pitching is very volatile. You can have an injury to Seth Lugo or Cole Reagans, like we saw, and then you're down two of your aces. So you got to have pitching, and you got to have an abundant amount of it. So it could very well be that Noah Cameron pitches well, and they might have to make a tough decision to send him back down to AAA. I know that might not be what a lot of fans want to hear, but that's just the reality of the game. It could possibly happen. So they have a lot of ways they can go about this. So that's why it's going to be interesting to see what they ultimately want to do. We saw it when they brought up Jack Caglione. They had to send down Dairon Blanco, and Matt Quatrero talked about it pregame. He said, well, we needed the bat of Jack Caglione, and when they were in games where they weren't necessarily utilizing Blanco to be that pinch runner speed guy, he was just on the roster, and they had to make a tough decision there. So the baseball is a game of tough decisions, so that's why they pay those guys in the front office and evaluators what they do to make these decisions. But it's going to be interesting to see which way they want to go.
Any concern tonight? Have you heard anything about the weather patterns there in St. Louis? I know that there's some thunderstorm possibilities that are entering the area. Any shot that we might see this one get delayed or postponed a little bit this evening?
For right now, it seems like everything is all systems go, but you never know what the weather. Anything can happen, but I anticipate them trying to get this one in today.
All right, that is Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star joining us, talking a little Royals, a little Jack Caglione. Appreciate you as always, Jalen.
Thank you so much, Logan. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Once again, Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. Take a look. I mean, just read some of the stuff that he puts out on the Kansas City Star. Does a great job. He's a regular of mine on After Hours. In fact, I had him on several times dating back to my time in Springfield. Does a really, really good job. And he covers the Royals as well as anybody out there. Our text line number, 913-586-7965. We're not going to talk a ton about it, but there was a big firing in the NBA yesterday, and I kind of want to get out some Tom Thibodeau hate that I have in my heart. We'll discuss that next. You're listening to The Drive. Logan Weber in for Carrington Harrison right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, the Royals dropped the lineup card for tonight, and let's just say some people are not happy. Folks in the text line, 913-586-7965, informing us, Rob, that Nick Lofton is out of the lineup tonight. Michael Massey is in. He will be hitting eighth, but Jack Caglione will be making his debut in right field tonight. So that's kind of an intriguing one. I'm assuming that's why Massey is going to DH this evening, but there is something head-scratching about a guy hitting 204 who is typically put on the field not because of his bat, but because of his glove, and you're going to DH him. If you're going to DH somebody, just let Lofton DH then. The guy went yard yesterday. Why are we continuing down this path with Michael Massey?
We can talk about Massey later in the show. I mean, we're planning on talking about Massey Fair. Later in the show, but I mean, Massey DHing makes no sense to me. If you had told me, hey, Perez is DHing, and that's why Caglione is in right field, or if you had told me Caglione's in right and they're massaging first base, and it makes sense to get Cags in the field, but Michael Massey's best asset is his glove, and they're not even putting that in the lineup. And I know that I guess Michael Massey's Mike Michaelis is the starter for the Cardinals. I believe he's
Miles Michaelis.
Miles Michaelis, thank you. I believe he's right-handed, so maybe you want the left-hand bat in as opposed to Nick Lofton, who's right-handed. But it's not like Massey's tearing the cover off the ball against righties. I mean, he's not tearing the cover off the ball against anyone.
Yeah, just, fair.
It feels like the Royals have an out in their lineup tonight. It just Cag's exciting. Cag's in the field is exciting. I'm excited to see it because it could be a problem, but there's excitement to it. Massey at DH is the opposite of exciting.
Yes, it is. I mean, you look at the career splits. He is a career 429 hitter against Michaelis, albeit in only 7 at-bats. So very limited appearances between these two. So maybe there's something to that. Somebody else in the text line just mentioned this, and this is probably an even better point to bring up. Jonathan India is not a great glove at second base. So if somebody's going to DH, why not DH Jonathan India and let Massey play second? Unless they're trying to make Jonathan India the everyday second baseman. They're trying to give him more opportunities in the field. I have no idea. Massey had a decent enough year last year. He hit like 246, which is actually an outlier year for his career. He hit like 230 as a rookie. He hit 220 his second year in the league, and now this year he's hitting 204. So maybe they're trying to give him a little bit more of an opportunity. Maybe this is a make or break. I don't know. We'll talk more about it. Somebody just said MJ Melendez will be back up soon. Mark it, Logan. Please, God, no.
To be fair, I'm not defending MJ. Talk about a guy tearing the cover off the ball. He is actually hitting the ball very well in AAA. Like,
as of late, yes.
As of late. You want to play the whole sample size game? You're right. It has not been gangbusters. But if you're looking for a guy who can play a good defensive outfield, which, let's be honest, we all love Jack Caglione. The thought that he's a good defensive outfielder at this point in his career is probably a stretch. If you're looking for a good defensive outfielder who is hitting the ball better and is probably hitting the ball better than Michael Massey, that's a name to keep an eye on. There are other names in AAA I would keep an eye on, but MJ Melendez wouldn't shock me because this organization does love their guys.
They do, and give them a little bit of credit, right? They're trying to fix the problem from within before they have to consider the possibility of making a deadline move, right? And I applaud them for that. That's the right move to make. We'll talk more about this as the night goes on. Okay. I was talking to Rob earlier. Didn't have a chance to get to this yesterday. The New York Knicks kind of made a surprising yet unsurprising move in firing their head coach in Tom Thibodeau. The first time they got to the Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, but Thibodeau gone after losing to the Indiana Pacers in 6 games. I am not surprised by this move, and I'll explain why. Tom Thibodeau is a good coach. He is a quality NBA coach. Here is his problem. He does not know, nor does he seem to even want to find out, how to create bench depth at all. Right? He plays a 7, maybe at most, an 8-man rotation. And that's it. From game 1 to seemingly the Eastern Conference Finals. He wears his guys to the bone. I'm a certified Tom Thibodeau hater because he ruined Derrick Rose. He destroyed Derrick Rose's body, and I'll never forgive him for that. He made some questionable decisions. You know, playing Jalen Brunson the way that he played Jalen Brunson all year. And then he goes down with the injury, and you're like, nobody's surprised by that. You're playing your guy 82 games, 40-plus minutes a night. He's going to get wore out. Your backup point guard is Cam Payne, for God's sake. And then, but it worked, right? It got them to the playoffs. It got them a top four seed. It got you all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, you had a couple of good breaks come your way. You had a good first-round matchup. The Celtics shoot the ball extremely poorly, very unaccustomed for them, and Jason Tatum tears his Achilles. So you end up in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you lose the first two games. And then you make this out-of-left-field decision of, okay, we're going to pull Josh Hart out of the lineup, and we're going to start Karl Anthony, or we're going to start Mitchell Robinson, who had not started all year. What are you doing? The Eastern Conference Finals is not the time to be making these sweeping declaration changes. And it blew up in his face. You had an opportunity. If you were going to do stuff like that, do it in November, do it in December or January or February. You have that's what the regular season is for. It is to find those lineups out there on the floor that work. Find the best five guys that work together, and those are your five starters. It just didn't make any sense. He plays seven guys. He never develops any kind of bench depth whatsoever. And then you try to go to it after an injury. Or in a situation like this in the Eastern Conference Finals, when you're getting thoroughly outmatched by a Pacers team with you know, Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton. I don't know. Tom Thibodeau is a great coach to get you there. But it just seems like he's one of those guys, one of those coaches that he can get you to the pinnacle, but he can't put you on top of the mountain, right? He can't win a big series. He can't win a big game when your back's against the wall and it matters the most. His philosophy just doesn't seem to want to. It works very well games seemingly 1 through 82, but games 83 through 100 plus, it seems like, yeah, the going was good, but now it's caught up to you a little bit. And things have a tendency to collapse there a little bit when guys are playing 40 minutes a night over 100 games every single year. Not great. 913-586-7965 is our number. I think some people in the text line think I'm Drew. I'm not. My name is Logan. Hello. Might have to reintroduce myself. It's only been, you know, the second or third time that I've hosted this show, so might have to let you know a little bit about me on the other side of the break. But we've got a lot more to discuss here coming up. Hopefully we'll have some updates on the special session in the stadium fight that is taking place in the state of Missouri, as well as some conversation about some roster changes that the Royals could make next that might help this team get better prepared for the inevitability of a move at the trade deadline. Logan Weber here with you, filling in for Carrington Harrison. You're listening to The Drive. Rob Britton alongside producing on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.